السلام علیکم ورحمت اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. We're continuing with the biography of Sayyidina Umar رضی اللہ عنہ. As we said that now we are coming towards his demise, the last few days, last moments of Umar رضی اللہ عنہ's مبارک life. سعید بن مسیب رضی اللہ عنہ said that when Umar radiallahu anh returned from Mina, this was in the year 23 Hijri, and this was the last Hajj that Umar radiallahu anh had performed. So when he returned from Mina, he made his camel kneel down at a place called Abta. He then made a heap of sand pebbles, and he covered it with a part of his garment. He lay down on it and he raised his hands towards the sky and he made dua. He said, "Oh Allah, I have grown old. My strength has now weakened and my subjects have become scattered." That now people are so many different countries around the world now, so many countries have come under the Muslim rule. So he's saying, now my subjects are scattered all around. I'm an old man now. My strength also have become weak. So take my soul. Say, Allah, take my soul. Let me pass away in such a manner that I am neither wasteful no unrestrained. Right? Then he woke up and he proceeded to Madina Munawwara. Zayd bin Aslam narrates from his father, Aslam radiallahu anhu, that Umar radiallahu anhu used to make dua, that, "Oh Allah, Allahumma ruzukni shahadatan fi sabili." To make dua, "Oh Allah, grant me shahadat in your path." But then he would add, "Waj'al mawti fi baladi rasulik sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." But let my death occur in the city of your messenger, the city of your beloved Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Umar radiallahu anhu himself used to say, "But how can it happen?" He used to make this dua, and then he used to think, "Well, how is it going to happen?" And other people also used to think that it's not possible, because Madina Munawwara is a stronghold of the Muslims, right? So the battles are all taking place outside. There are no battles taking place in Madina Munawwara. So if you want shahadat, shahadat you'll get in Sham, you'll get in Misr, you'll get in those places. You're not going to get shahadat here in the city of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he used to make this dua, "Oh Allah, grant me shahadat and let my death be in the city of your beloved, your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it come to pass if he wills. He used to say this, he used to say that. But how is it going to happen? And then he used to say, if Allah wills, Allah will make it possible. Allah will make it come to pass. So we learn from here, to wish for shahadat, martyrdom, this is desirable. To wish for death, that's different. You got a sickness now, you're not appealing, "Hey, rather I die now." You're going through some financial problems, "No, rather I die." The person's wife passed away, now he's in a lot of grief, or the lady's husband passed away and she's in grief, "You know, rather I also die now." Sometime a mother, her child passes away. You say, "No, what is life now without my child? Rather I too must die now." So that is different. Sometime a person, due to some financial problems or whatever, is wishing for death. That's not a good thing. That means the person is showing be sabri. What? He's showing be sabri. Yes, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you can make this dua, "O Allah, if life is better for me, then keep me alive. If death is better for me, then take me away." But you're not saying, I want death. But to desire martyrdom, to become a shaheed, that is something that is desirable. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself desired martyrdom. Right? The difference is that wishing for death is a request for death to be brought earlier than its appointed time. And a long life is good. So why are you asking for death to be brought closer? A long life is good for a person. You got more opportunities to make tawbah, more opportunities to carry out good deeds, etc. But wishing for martyrdom is to ask for death, the death of a martyr at the end of my life. I'm not asking for death to be brought closer. I'm saying, Ya Allah, when it is my time to go, let me go as a shaheed. Let me go as a martyr. So it doesn't contain the wish for death to come before its time. On the contrary, it is only a wish to have a virtuous death, a death of martyrdom. Auf bin Malik Ashja'i radiallahu an narrates, he said, I saw in a dream, now he's narrating a dream of his, right? He said, I saw a rope dangling from the sky. Right? I saw this dream during the Khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. He saw this dream. People stretched out for it. People are stretching out, they're trying to grab the rope. But Umar radiallahu an reached 3 cubits above them. All the people's hands where it was trying to catch the rope. But Umar radiallahu's hand went 3 cubits above everybody else's hand. Right? So I asked, that what is this? What does this dream mean? The reply was, because he is one of Allah Ta'ala's khalifs on earth, and because he does not fear the blame of the blamers. لَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمْ. Right? And the third thing that was said is, he is going to be killed as a shaheed. So in the morning, I went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and I mentioned the dream to him. He told me to go and call Umar radiallahu anhu. When Umar radiallahu an came, Abu Bakr radiallahu an ordered me to mention the dream again. When I reached the part of the dream that because he is one of Allah's khalifs, right? Umar radiallahu an remarked, can a sleeping person see all of this? In other words, he made light of me. He didn't say, oh yeah, you saw what a dream, you saw about me. You start respecting me from now, you know who I am. No, he made small of it. He is a sleeping person, where he can see all this. Umar radiallahu an did become the khalif. And he went to a place called Jabia near Damascus. Right? As he was delivering the khutbah, he called me, who he called Auf bin Malik Ashja'i Allah. He called me and he told me to sit. When he finished the address, he said to me, tell me your dream. So I said, but before this, when I was telling you the dream, you stopped me. When I started telling the dream, before I could finish the dream, I was still saying that it was mentioned that because he is one of Allah's khalifs on earth, then you made small of it and you didn't want to hear the rest of the dream. So Umar radiallahu an replied that the reason I did that was I was feeling shy in front of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Abu Bakr radiallahu an is my senior. Right? And now you are extolling my virtues, what you saw in a dream in front of him. So it made me feel shame. So I didn't want that this must be mentioned in front of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So tell me the dream now. So when I narrated it to him, He said, as for Khilafat, that becoming a Khalif, this has already come to pass, as you can see, the Imam, the Khalifa, the Amir al-Mu'mineen. As for not fearing the blame of the blamers, لَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ, I hope that that is how I am known. That if Allah Ta'ala gives me that certificate, that when it comes to spreading the deen of Allah and mentioning what is haq, then I don't worry about the reproach of reproaches. People want to ridicule me, they want to make fun of me, they want to accuse me. I don't worry about all those things. I must pronounce what is the haq. Okay? As for being killed as a martyr, how can it be when I live inside the Arabian Peninsula? In other words, that now the Arabian Peninsula is all aman, it's all safe, secure, peaceful. There's no wars taking place and I'm living here. How is it going to happen? Then we come to the dream of Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. He said, I saw as if I was holding many race horses. When we talk about race horses, you mustn't think about this kuffar, how they gamble and do race and all. No, not like that. Right? Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to run races with the horses to prepare for jihad. They're training the horse also. They also training. Right? Yesterday, my grandson is small. Ages now, we don't remember. Ladies remember all the ages. But he must be about three, four years old or something. Right? So, he went for his first outride. He's going for horse riding. He's learning how to ride horse. So now first time they took him on an outright. So one guinea fowl ran across the road. Now the horse spooked. Horse spooked. The guinea fowl ran, so the horse got a shock. So a horse, when you get a shock, it jumps up. So he held the saddle. So he was sideways on the saddle, but he didn't fall off. So that is how you learn to stay on the horse. And the Arabs, when they break a horse, it's called breaking in the horse, you know, when you back the horse. They bring a wild horse. Wild horse, they bring the thing. No reins, because you can't put reins on it. It bite you. It's a wild horse. You can't get on its back. Nothing. That thing will buck you off. What they do? They bring a wild horse there. Wild horse. They come running. They jump on the thing's back. Right? And they hold the neck. That thing jumps, kicks, tries to buck them off, tries to drop them down. Sometimes they fall too. Sometimes the horse wins. Sometimes they win. Right? But they try to remain on the back of that horse. Till eventually the horse realizes that, you know what, I can't throw this fellow off. And his being on my back is not harming me. Right? Then the horse comes down. That's how they back the horse. Not like this. The English, they got long story to back the horse. The Arabs, these young children in the desert, they had no Arab, you know, villages. They masters, like the people from Lesotho. The Lesotho people. You give them the horse. Untrained, unbacked, wild horse. They just jump on the back. They jump on the back, they stay there. That horse jumps, bucks, this, that. Eventually the horse realizes, hey, you know what? I can't throw this person off, and he's not harming me. So, the horse then calms down, you know. Cools down, calms down. So Abu Musa Ash'ari now he's seeing in a dream that he's holding many race horses. But they started disappearing. One by one the horses are disappearing in a dream. Only one remained. One horse remained. So I took off the only horse and rode it until we came to a slippery mountain. Suddenly, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. Came to the slippery mountain. See, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there. Then, Abu Bakr radiallahu an was there by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's side. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling Umar radiallahu an to come. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there. Abu Bakr radiallahu an is standing next to him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling Umar radiallahu an. So I said to him, why don't you write it to Umar? Send this dream, write it down on a page and send it to Umar radiallahu an. We saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling for him. So it's like a basharat, like, you know. So he said, why don't you write it down and send it for Umar radiallahu an? So Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu an, he said, I will not inform him about his own death. You see, Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu an, when he saw this dream, he realized that this dream means that Umar radiallahu an is going to pass away. So who he was telling this dream to, they didn't understand. They thinking such a wonderful dream, I mean, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling for you. Right? So they said, why don't you write it down and send it to Umar now? So Abu Musa said, no, I won't inform him of his own death. Right? Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu an mentioned some parts of the Jummah khutbah which Umar radiallahu an delivered on the 21st of Dhul Hijjah, 23 Hijri. This was the last khutbah of his life. Umar radiallahu an mentioned to the Muslims about a dream that he saw. And he interpreted it also. He said, indeed I saw a dream. And I think it can only mean that my death is near. I saw as if a rooster pecked me twice. And that some people asked me to appoint my successor. That who will be the Khalif after me. Allah Ta'ala will not let his deen and khilafat and what he sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with to be destroyed. In other words, Allah Ta'ala will take care of this deen. If I die soon, then the Khalif should be selected with the consultation of the six men with whom Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pleased when he passed away. Right? You see, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he didn't appoint a khalif. But he indicated, he left many indicators that any intelligent person will understand that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu should be the khalif. The only fools can't understand this is Shias. Right? Any intelligent person will understand, any person with a brain will understand that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was indicating Abu Bakr renown must be the Khalif. Right? When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, before he passed away, he appointed the Khalif. That Umar will be the Khalif after me. Umar radiallahu anhu, what he did was, he appointed a panel of six Sahaba. And he told them that you will make mashwara amongst you and you will choose a Khalif from amongst you. Not you will make mashwara and choose somebody else. No. The khalif will be one of you six. And you six will decide who that person will be. So you see, in Islam, there's no democracy. There's no the majority vote. There's no such thing. Unfortunately, today, even in our dini organizations, right, they have a vote. They have a vote. Even like in masjid, trustees of a masjid, madrasas, organizations, etc. They too, they say, we can't agree on this, let us have a vote. So majority vote is what the decision will be. In Islam, there's nothing like that. There's no majority vote for important matters
Yeah, small thing you can have. Say, for example, now we're deciding, must cook mutton tomorrow or chicken? So now we ask all the students, how many of you want to eat mutton tomorrow? Right? So out of 150 students, 110 of them say we want to eat mutton. 40 of them say we want to eat chicken. So alright, never mind, man. Majority of them would like to eat mutton, let's make mutton. Right? That's different. You got 5 children. Right? So you ask them, where you all want to go? Nani's house or Dadi's house? First. Have to go by both. We want to go first Nani's house or first Dadi's house? So 4 of them say want to go Nani's house. 1 of them say want to go Dadi's house. So you say, alright, never mind. Most of them want to go Nani's house first, let's go. But for important matters, you are choosing a person who is going to be the leader of a community. How can it be on a majority vote? Majority of the people are ignorant. Majority of the people don't know what's good for them. Now you just put things to a majority vote. Must we pass this bill or we mustn't pass this bill? No, put it to a majority vote. How can that work? You have to choose people who are well versant in that subject matter. People who are pious, they are muttaqi, they are intelligent, they got the well-being of the ummah at heart. And tell them, now you all make mashura and come to a decision. Understand? So this is what Umar radiallahu anhu did, is he chose a panel of 6 sahaba radiallahu anhu, and he told them, you all will choose the khalif from within you. One of you 6 will become the khalif. We will stop there. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. We'll continue inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته